Welcome back to True Vine Talks with
Welcome to True
Linda
Vine.
and Rachel.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're a little bit scattered, I think, this morning because we've got a heavy topic in mind, at least for the two of us, and that is the passing of our wonderful, inspiring leader, Dr. Sue Johnson, the creator of emotionally focused therapy. And in order to honor her, we decided to kind of dedicate this podcast to her, not as a biography of sorts, but just as a kind of personal sharing of how her work has inspired us in our own lives and in our professional careers. And I think that that would mean a lot to Sue.
It's like what Rachel's saying. We feel grief, we feel grateful, we feel sad. Just a lot of emotions showing up for us as we are, kind of her students. I would feel like I was her student.
I definitely consider myself a student of hers. Yeah. It's an interesting emotional experience because I never met Sue in person. I never attended like a live training where she was presenting. But I've just read so much of her work and I've watched so many of her videos that I do feel like I knew her.
Yeah, I got the wonderful experience during the COVID time with Dr. Leanne Campbell and Dr. Sue Johnson doing eFit live webinar, and that felt very just so cool to be in the room with your teacher in a live webcast. So that was as close as I got to being in her presence, physical presence, just wonderful, heartfelt, loving individual who was passionate about helping couples repair and heal their bonds while also teaching the rest of us how to help couples heal their bonds.
Can you share with me just what her energy was like? Because I have this sense of what it must be like from watching her videos where she's working with couples and individuals. Just like that warmth, and what was that like witnessing live?
Oh, it was great question. It was wonderful, Rachel. She had insight in how to make the right moves with couples. She was also really funny.
Oh, she had a great sense of humor, huh?
Yeah, she had a really good sense of humor. She would fit in anecdotes from her life that were relevant and and humble. She had a lot of humility around
So humble.
herself. She'd be like, "Oh, I was talking too much there. Did you see that, Leanne?" I remember her saying that. And I was like, "Oh, she's very mindful of her own, stuff. I like that about her."
Yeah, I've always been aware that she just wanted to be Sue. You know, she was never Dr. Johnson in her mind. She was very humble and never expected any of us in the EFT community to be exactly like her. She very much promoted individuality and uniqueness within the model. Like, this is just a map for us to use that she created.
A beautiful map that she watched in the 1980s. I know we did another podcast about it. She would watch her couples in a videotape and she noticed something happening. And it wasn't about the fight, she said it was about the bid for connection. The bid for connection. The attachment, do you see me? Do you know I'm here? Such a amazing that she could see that. I mean, I wouldn't have seen it. I've just seen two people arguing. That's what I would see.
Like, it now, you and I all the time in our personal lives and in our work. So I think that is probably the biggest thing that Sue taught me personally is the focus on attachment and understanding all those needs and longings that are hiding beneath the surface of our behaviors.
Well said.
What is
There's,
this really about, this emotion I'm seeing right now?
yeah, hiding beneath the surface. I love how you said that. There's so much going on inside of a human being in any moment. You got your inner child, you've got your protector parts, you have your manager parts, you have so much happening. And when you interact with people, if those needs aren't getting met, there's that protest that shows up. Yeah.
And I think Sue taught us to like lean into that protest, to not be afraid of it, to not try to get it to go away, but really lean in and become curious and try to understand what it's actually about, which is so unique, I think, to the emotionally focused model. I don't see that anywhere else in other therapy models. I think there tends to be like two paths, and Sue forged her own third. So a lot of other models either focus on like thoughts and cognitions. We
Right.
stay in that like upper level of the brain, right? We're rational thought, or they go like straight to the trauma, and they're like in the deep, and then going back to the past. But Sue was very present process, like, what is happening right now, right here in the room? What's alive in this moment, and what is it about? How can I
And
understand it?
yeah, that's so true, Rachel. When you're working with a client and they're talking about all their stressors or their content and stuff, it's like, what's underneath that? You're sharing these things and they're so important to you, but underneath you feel really scared. Is that right? Checking in with those emotions and asking people, we don't have all the answers. You know you best, right? So Dr. Johnson's Sue, she wanted to always be called. She really opened up a whole neural pathway to the heart that we wouldn't have had she not brought this to the forefront of our field. And I'm just I have so much gratitude because I might have shared this with you, Rachel. I did on a Facebook post is her therapy changed the trajectory of my career. And people might be like, well, that's pretty huge to say, or that seems a little broad or over encompassing. Well, not really, because I kept hitting a wall, Rachel, with cognitive behavioral therapy in the practice for which I was in at the time. And I'm like, this is not helping, or I'm not the right fit for this therapy. I didn't know I need to hang up the license and go join a company selling, I don't know, whatever. I didn't care. I was like, what do I need to do? And Rachel, to have spent 8 years of your life and all this time and continued to just feel stuck, and I did. And Miss Shelley Coleman, who I'm so, and her and Christy Eastman brought this therapy to me in the place I was at the time. I was like, this is it. This is it. So, in that respect, Dr. Sue Johnson really help change the trajectory of where I was going, because I was like ready to just, this cognitive stuff's not working, or I'm not a good fit for cognitive therapy. I'm not sure which. I don't know.
Well, you cannot think your way out of a dysregulated nervous system. So
Bingo.
it just, yeah, you're going to run into walls if that's what you're trying to do. If we're in fight or flight and someone's telling you what you think is happening isn't happening, that feels like gaslighting.
Ooh, that's good. Well stated, Rachel. Yeah, because they're like, well, give them a cognitive reframe. Oh, I just lost my dog and I'm really sad and I'm disappointed and I'm grieving. Well, go get a new dog and let's reframe. You know what? Think happy thoughts about your dog. And yeah, like what Rachel's saying is so true. If I'm, as a therapist, bumper presenting a solution that's not regulating to their heart, it gets missed. There's a disconnect. And that's what I experienced using the therapy model of cognitive therapy. I'm not knocking it. Hey, it works in a lot of areas of life for people.
As long as the nervous system is regulated, it works great. People are able to take that logic and reasoning in and apply it and reframe how they're thinking. But a lot of times in therapy, that's just not where a client is at. They're not regulated. They're very upset for very good reasons.
Yeah, and when we she would bring up, we well, I noticed the water in your eyes if someone's in the room. Wow, what's happening inside? Like Rachel said so eloquently, lean into the experience, not out of the experience.
Yeah, I don't think I had ever been taught to heighten or deepen someone's emotional experience. Deepen, I can, yes, but it was like deepen the meaning cognitively, not deepen the actual emotion, like, have that person actually feeling angry in front of you. Have that person actually feeling sad in front of you. I think it's so easy to, as anybody, but I mean, even as a therapist, you'd think, all therapists are so comfortable with emotion. Not always, and not in the beginning, because we're also just people, And we're kind of taught to, like, if there's a negative emotion coming up in front of us, like, we want to back away from that or change it. So it is hard to kind of learn to just sit there and allow it to happen. And not only that, but like, help make it bigger, help make it more real, help bring it alive in the moment. But why that's so important is that this person begins to understand that this is an emotion that they can manage. They can feel safe experiencing that feeling. And they can feel accepted by somebody else experiencing that emotion. Like, oh, here's someone that's not telling me to shove this down or leaving when this emotion shows up. This person is sitting right here with me. And they're not judging me for it, and they're not asking me to change it. They're just being curious. They want to know more about it.
Well said. Just hey, let's just sit with this feeling right now. What's you feel scared when this happened? Yeah. What else reminds you of a time where you felt scared? And then our child womb pops up. There's so much there, and it's just such a wonderful therapy model to help people.
So another, that's just another thing that I have to thank Sue for is, like, anytime I find myself feeling like I'm trying to convince, I need to take a deep breath and take a step back and transition to curiosity. Should never feel like a debate, like I'm trying to convince someone something. Just always stay curious and open.
Stay curious and open. Yeah. That's good. That's really good. Yeah. Yeah. Not like superimposing the ideal way of experiencing on people.
Yeah. Or trying to like reframe before they're ready, before that emotion's been validated.
Rachel, do you feel like it's an unburdening when we get more curious versus trying to make things fit in therapy?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems counterintuitive to take someone deeper into sadness or fear. It seems like, oh, that would just make things worse, wouldn't it? Like, wouldn't they just become so flooded? But we're doing it in a very slow, safe way. To where we're helping them understand their own sadness and fear because they've never stayed in it long enough to be curious themselves. So, through our curiosity, we're helping them also be curious and gain better insight into their own, thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. We're helping them put the it physical, like this visceral experience that they have into words. And there's something just magical about saying, like putting your experience into words and hearing it reflected back to you that just like soothes the nervous system, like petting a puppy or a cat. This is like,
That's so true. Yeah, you're so right. And just the feeling that, society tells me I can't be scared, I can't be sad, I can't be hurt. Oh, no, you can be all those things. You can have all those emotions, and you're not going to be rejected or judged for it in therapy. If you are, then that's not good therapy.
oh, yeah, no. Yeah. So thank you, Sue, for teaching us that emotional vulnerability is strength.
Thank you for paving the way for Rachel and I to open our own practice and do the work that you set the groundwork for us to do to help people. I'm grateful.
Yeah, thanks for teaching us that. Emotional vulnerability is like the fastest, most reliable agent for change. That we're not going to find the change we want through logic or reasoning or even compromise. It has to be the acceptance and engagement with our emotions. Connection equals change.
Connection, the ARE conversation. Are you there for me when I need you? Will you respond to me if I am sad? Or will you pull away all those attachment longings and fears? Thank you for Sue for teaching us those. I didn't know those before this therapy.
Yeah. I use it in my personal life when I'm interacting with myself, my husband, my family and friends, like not as their therapist, but just to be emotionally engaged and attuned.
So good. So good. So we just want to leave it on that note, unless Miss Rachel has some more she wants to share.
I think I've shared. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure I could go on and on, but I think that's good for today.
Very good. So, today we did a little less heavy work and more of gratitude for the model of therapy that Dr. Sue Johnson gave us. So we just want to be share this time with that. And we will be back for another podcast soon, and we hope you will listen.
Yeah. Yeah, until next time, everybody take care.
Bye.
Bye.